It's Tuesday, January 31st, 2012, and welcome to episode 128 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone. We do have enough students that our Students Involved with Technology Conference is a go for February 18th. So I want to thank all the teachers out there for getting the word out and all the students signing up, and we look forward to a productive conference out there for the students. So thank you all for getting the word out on very short notice. With us in the studio today, we have Dr. Cindy Rich, and Dr. Rich is back this time to talk a little bit about the Teaching with Primary Sources program here at EIU, and our topic for today is the U.S. Constitution.
Right. Hi, Tom. Good to see you again and be here. One of the things we've discovered recently is that we're trying to find resources that will help teachers with things they're doing in their classroom. Instead of adding new things, we want to give them more tools that they can use in the classroom right now. And a topic that has come up is that everyone is teaching the Constitution in some form, some grade levels more than other. Mm-hmm. And you know, in 2004, the law was passed that any school receiving federal money had to at least, you know, observe Constitution Day in September. And then we also know that here in Illinois, all students are required to pass a federal and a state constitution test before they're given a graduation certificate. So it is something that's an important topic, and that we want to provide tools for teachers to use that help them reach those students that may not get it in one format, but in another. But even beyond just the requirement to learn about the Constitution, you know, we both know it's important to be aware of the Constitution and how it impacts us on a daily life. And I know when I was a student in high school, and that I really didn't care that much.
Right. It seems like, well, that happened so long ago, so how does that affect our daily life?
Exactly. But now, more and more, you know, I'm realizing how important these rights and the privileges that come with our Constitution are. And just everything we're hearing in the news now and the media.
Yeah, and I'd like to tie a little bit in, you know, with the modern topics and things and with digital technologies, how that would apply. And I've always wondered, you know, how our forefathers would have felt if they were drafting the Constitution today. What might that look like with all the internet resources and everything digital? The freedom of speech issues out there as well. So this month in particular, just a little bit of background, January 2012, we had the Stop Online Piracy Act going through Congress, and there was actually a protest, an online protest this month, and those of us with Facebook accounts and Twitter, you know, voiced their opinions, whether for or against, and actually January 18th, I believe, there was a blackout day, I you know, it affected me. Just seeing things. If you went out to Google that day, they had a little black square around for the protest out there.
And one of the, I was doing a workshop with teachers that evening, and we were looking for resources, and one of the sources, one of the websites that we use is archive.org and the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
And they were taking part of that protest.
Yeah. And then Wikipedia for the students out there. I'm sure there were many students disappointed. Couldn't get the homework that day because of Wikipedia. It was actually, you could not use it. They had the banner up there and you couldn't get to the content.
Right. So it definitely made a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very complicated issue.
Yeah, it is.
There are so many levels to that issue, but that's a great way to approach the topic of the Constitution with students because no one statement covers everything.
Right.
And so, you know, as we talk with students about something like this SOPA, that, you know, this is good, but this isn't. Mm-hmm. How do we make it work?
Right.
So the good isn't thrown out with the bad.
Right. And why those laws, you know, are made in the first place to protect intellectual property and things. So, as you say, kind of looking at both sides of the fence there, there's pros and cons on both sides. And those are discussions that need to be had.
Right. And so, you know, if we can kind of pull in the original Constitution during those conversations while students are thinking about these issues, it's a great teachable moment. It's something that we can use and discuss and try to really make students aware of how important these things are. And you were talking about, you know, what a constitution today would look like. That would be kind of fun to see. And I've had teachers make, as a class assignment, have a classroom bill of rights or a classroom constitution and things like that to help understand the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure there's teachers out there who've done this, and I'm sure it's very interesting to see how that all, what is important to students that are creating those constitutions at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's an interesting topic, and it the nice thing about this also is that the new media is bringing topics like this that may have only been on the news, on television, or newspapers, and young people wouldn't have been exposed to it back when I was in high school,
mm-hmm.
that high school students today are fully aware
right.
of these things. So as much as sometimes we criticize technology,
mm-hmm.
You know, that it exposes our kids to things too soon, it's very good because it's exposing them to a lot of good information and adult topics they may not have learned about otherwise.
Yeah, and, you know, with your grant, with the primary sources and things, that's exactly what we're dealing with in real time.
Right.
So that makes it even more of a challenge because, you know, you're dealing with this really on the fly. But as a teacher and as a student learning things, you want to find those hooks into
right.
what they're interested in. And the current events are, you know, perfect. They may not care what happened 200-300 years ago, but if you know, if they're seeing a topic in the news, that's relevant to them.
Sure, absolutely. Then actually that leads nicely into one of the topics. I'm going to switch my order where I was going to go, but one of the parts of the Library of Congress website that we haven't really talked about, I don't believe, is Thomas. And what Thomas is, it's the area that has information for, you know, if you're a teacher that covers current events or anything like that, it's helpful. But it was launched just to basically digitize the resources that Congress uses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gone on that you can go in and you can search for any bill or resolution. You can see the activity in Congress. You can see what's going on the floor at a particular time, the congressional records, schedules, all of those things. But it's kind of cool because you could go in there, type in SOPA,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, any other term, and find out, see the revisions of the legislation,
mm-hmm.
and what's happened, any conversations and debates. And so it's a very cool way to look for information about these events that are happening now,
mm-hmm.
and where I was going to go with it, they have a wonderful Constitution guide on that site. And so you can look at those things again in comparing 200 years ago plus
mm-hmm.
and today and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's a fun site to play with. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is.
I think a couple episodes back we were talking about Twitter. Maybe it was on one of the episodes I did, but I believe Thomas does have a Twitter feed, doesn't it?
It does. It does. So, right, on the social media when we talked about that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and so you can, you know, use that. But it really is a wonderful site, again, to use to connect students to today and then to the past. And they do have a good site on Constitution Day resources. But another thing I like about it, it's created by the Research and Reference Division.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not created specifically for teachers and for students, but more for, you know, adult researchers as mm-hmm. well. But they're great links, and there are just a plethora of links there to different types of either the primary source documents or background information. Because I know sometimes, you know, I need a little refresher course
mm-hmm.
before I teach about the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Just to help me know, you know.
Yeah, and that's what's so great, like your notes here today, and we should mention we'll have many links, as usual, out in our show notes, but it provides some of that advanced research to get somebody up to speed very, very quickly,
right.
because as you and I both know, whenever you're going through summarizing that, it takes some time.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Yeah, you know, you hope to save some teachers some time doing that.
Exactly, and give them just some extra tools that they can use. I know my husband and I were talking, a friend of ours had their partner was taking the Constitution test or citizenship exam. And we were talking about the questions that were on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, kind of like that, are you smarter than a fifth grader, where you knew it at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but, you know, that's one of the awesome things about the web
mm-hmm.
and these tools that are there, that we don't have to memorize it,
mm-hmm.
but we have to know how to access it
mm-hmm.
and being able to access information.
And that's just so crucial as a 21st century citizen.
Absolutely.
Because there's just so much to know out there.
Absolutely. And so Thomas is a great place to look for Constitution resources. Of course, you know, a good place to always start is on the teacher's page.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go, you know, to the teacher's page, you're going to find things like a primary source set, lesson plans, and all kinds of resources. But I like the primary source set because it gives you examples of multimedia. So there's audio, there's sheet music, and of course the audio isn't from the actual Constitution Convention, but but there are some other comments and things like there's one from Warren Harding speaking on Americanism and referring to it, or Calvin Coolidge. So you can, play some of those audio recordings and things and, use it with students that are different, have different learning styles and need audio. And so, those primary source sets are also a really good place to start. And whenever you're getting ready to gear up to teach about the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next area is MyLOC. And MyLOC is a really fun area of the Library of Congress because it has all these resources that are very important to the Library of Congress, but they've put them in this interactive, fresh, exciting format. And so you have these really neat interactives that students can participate in. And so you have different things like the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and Bill of Rights. There's an interactive that you look at phrases and relate them to text of the documents. And then along with the Twitter and that we talked about before, one of the things about MyLOC is that you can have students sign in, they can create an account, and then anything they want to save, they can save into a folder on there. So when they go back,
Keeps those items.
So it saves valuable time that they don't have to keep searching every time they go into it. And so they can create these folders and save resources in those folders. And then we were talking about they also have the share. So you can share, you can just link on it or click on it, and it'll go to Twitter, Facebook, Delicious, some of the other resources for sharing. Or you can also do, it has where you can embed the URL and put on a blog.
Yeah, and I'm out here at the MyLOC site now, and I encourage you to go out there because those are the links back. And I always like just seeing, the digital images of the actual documents.
Mm-hmm.
And in looking here just a little bit and prepping for the show, we have pictures in our mind, like Declaration of Independence and things all handwritten out, with a quill pen. But actually seeing some of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in, movable type format in the books and things. So it's interesting. They've got the actual, digital images of the Constitution as it was seen originally. So that's kind of neat.
One of the things that we've created on our website, our Teaching with Primary Sources at EIU, is a closer look at the Constitution. And what that is, we have that same document, but we kind of zero in on George Washington's notes in the margin and, looking at what was crossed out and it was replaced with and things like that. So, again, just giving students additional ways of looking and interacting with material.
And having the students realize that, this isn't something you just sit down and write and it's fixed.
Right.
But there's a lot of this back and forth and argument and disagreement and things that's going on. Another section here, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson's back and forth in the commentary. Obviously it's political. So there are definite views and opinions on each side. And, just like today, we often think, history, it's something in the past and fixed, but history really happens in the present, it's being made. So we're having this back and forth. What I always want my students to do is to develop those critical thinking skills and be able to take an argument and look at both sides and say, I can see the pros and cons of this. And just like we do today, things definitely aren't fixed, especially in the technology world, because it's so disruptive. And we're facing things that, the human race has never faced.
Right.
And with the amount of information and things, the issue of censorship, another thing in the news this month in particular, various countries, Twitter being a social network, Facebook, they have to work in this global environment. And not everybody adheres to United States law. Every country's independent.
Right.
So how does a global corporation, manage that? And, of course, if you're operating in that jurisdiction, you have to go by the local laws. And Twitter's taken some heat this this past month because of various, you know, takedown notices and things that are coming through. And we're also coming up on the, this is the 1 year anniversary of the Tahrir Square, which was, you know, the revolution in Egypt.
That was fed.
That was fed by Twitter and mobile phones, this unprecedented access.
Right.
So these are complex issues.
It really is. It's, and you know, we have this instant access to information, yet we're frustrated because things take so long to get resolved and that. And we look back and we say, okay, you know, we see that our legislators at this point took forever, and we definitely see that today, that it's taking a long time to get anything resolved.
But here in the United States, that Constitution serves as kind of that bedrock document that our country was based upon.
Right. And so it is, I mean, it, you know, as you said, the world is changing and things are different than they were just when we were in high school and college. And I'm sure that the students who are in high school and college now, when they're our age, we won't mention what that is, but when they're our age, they'll say, oh, remember when,
you know, that's so hard to do back then.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's an exciting time. And how do we use the technology to make our students better citizens and help them, you know, fulfill their potential and really be who they are and go on it. And it's hard because you still have a lot of schools who are still the traditional. It's like you have these new things, but a lot of things don't change. And so how do you mesh those two together, especially in smaller communities where you know, the options aren't as broad and finances aren't available.
And then you have the digital access issues and digital divide issues and you know, all those other things that we struggle with. But, you know, on the bright side of things, never before, with a computer and internet access, literally the world's open to you.
Right. And students who can't go on a field trip to some of these sites and some of these places now can do virtual field trips and can view the documents. And, you know, I get more from being able to download one of these documents and even print it out, highlight, circle, mark it up, than just going to National Archives and staring at it through glass. I mean, that moves me emotionally to see the actual document.
Right.
But to really understand it and interact with it, you know, just being able to hold it in my hands and do that takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
And so our students that are kinesthetic learners, we can give them some of these documents in a print format that they can do things like that. I think it will help them a lot. It'll help them with understanding and taking it to a new level. So I just, you know, again, just wanted to highlight some of those resources that we have on our website, the Library of Congress has on their website. Our latest newsletter last month was the Constitution, and next month is the Bill of Rights. So it's something we're thinking about a lot in our office right now. But we've gotten really good response from teachers because it is something they have to include in curriculum at some point. And so, you know, there are so many resources out there, great resources that are government resources created by schools. Other teachers are sharing lesson plans. You know, on YouTube, there's some really cool things with the Constitution. And so there are all these tools out there that it's nice to be able to access them, but especially when you can download them, save them, put them into whatever you're using.
As we're coming up here upon the month of February, of course, February has President's Day.
Absolutely.
So I see here in your notes, you've got a couple of resources out there.
I did. We love our Lincoln in Illinois.
Yep. Land of Lincoln.
That's right. And so, you know, we had a great time celebrating the bicentennial a few years ago. And one of my favorite Lincoln items is, you know, and that's coming up actually on February 11th, the anniversary, was his farewell address to Springfield. And it was just a beautiful short speech that he gave when he left Springfield and, you know, never returned to live in Springfield again. And that, but one of the things on the library side is Sam Waterston reading that speech or that address. So you have video, you can find the actual transcript or the transcript, you can find the actual document that is.
Do we have the link for that one?
We do.
Okay.
It's,
we'll make sure we've got that in our show notes here. So I'm not sure which one it was.
Yeah, it's just, I think it says Lincoln's farewell address to Springfield.
Okay.
things like that that we can share with students to show a different look.
And then with your Bill of Rights, you know, that's, and the unresolved issues of the Constitution and Bill of Rights that led to the Civil War and things and that interrelationship out there.
Yeah. And then we just link to a couple of things that we've created. There's just a teaching Lincoln with primary sources set, but we also did a link of anybody going to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. Mm-hmm. We created primary source links for that as well, so you can find primary sources that can be downloaded. And then our Lincoln Assassination CSI.
Oh yeah,
it was kind of fun. It was kind of an interactive where students look at the conspirators and look at the evidence, and then try to choose whether they think they're guilty or innocent, and they vote, and then explained how they were found.
Yeah.
So, but again, you know, we're just trying to find different ways to put these things into student hand. And I think that's what every teacher does. Mm-hmm. You know, every student in your classroom is unique. Mm-hmm. And how can you present the information that each one, and one size doesn't fit all. And so we're constantly kind of doing a dance and changing how we say it and saying and doing things multiple times, because we so desperately want to make sure that each child.
And different ways, yes.
Exactly, that we reach each child in our classroom so they succeed.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and technology is just a great tool for helping us do that.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there. I want to thank you for coming in. And as I said in the show notes, the Teaching with Primary Sources website, as usual, has tons of resources. So I'll make sure we'll put them out there. A lot of resources out there to the United States Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights. And then this is something I need to check on a little bit more myself, the Thomas resources out there.
Right.
I'm not even sure I'm following them on Twitter, so I probably need to put that in my Twitter feed.
Absolutely.
Out there. And, you know, as we talked about on the social media episode, just having those little nudges and reminders out there is kind of interesting. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
My technology pick of the week this week is the Desmos Graphing Calculator, which is available on the web. This calculator is available using any browser, and it uses the HTML5 format. What's really great about this particular format is, number one, it's free, and secondly, because it's HTML5, you do not need to have any Flash-based plugins. This is a great exercise for students and for math teachers for demonstrating. It provides a graphing calculator that you can very easily go in and enter a set of equations and have it graphed immediately. It also has a save and share feature. So you can go through and, let's say you're graphing one equation, you can change the line color and graph a second equation, so you can compare and contrast and do some what if equations. And then once you finish doing your series of equations, you can hit the little save and share feature, and you can either tweet it out or copy and paste the URL to save for future examples. That wraps it up for episode 128 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I want to thank Dr. Cindy Rich, and also a special shout out for all the teachers that made our Student Information Technology Conference a go for February 18th. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/idc. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom. Keep on learning.